Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Caberti, founder of the Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you 3 new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. And before we jump into today's episode, let me ask you a quick question. How much would your life change if you could make 6 figures from your content? Imagine being able to quit your 9-to-5 job, do what you love for a living, and spend more time with your family. That's what we help our students do at the Content Marketing Plaza, an 8-week program that will help you build your way to 6 figures via your content. You can learn more about the Plaza by heading over to contentmarketingplaza.com, which will be in the show notes. All right, let's jump right back into the episode. We often hear about online advertising as a way to really hit that breakthrough, really reach out to a massive audience, but how do we do it? There are so many intricacies, and if you go into any of these dashboards for anything like Facebook or Google AdWords, you're quickly like, what do I do here? So we are going to talk about not just like navigating those, like that's not the main focus, but how do we get these incredible results? I mean, just to give you some idea, today's guest, he's got some ads going that give him $22 for each dollar he puts in. Now that is the kind of campaign that you run all day long. We're going to talk about getting there. And the guest who we have on today, he is the founder of Inbound Ascension, which helps clients convert more sales. He is an internationally recognized and certified digital marketer, public speaker, and marketing consultant. He's also one of the people behind Amp My Content, which helps people get far more traffic while writing less content. Today's guest for episode 321 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Daniel Danes-Hutt. Daniel, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
What up? I feel like I have to bring so much energy. That's such a powerful introduction. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Daniel, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to this conversation because you get in this like $22 for every dollar put in, that is something we definitely have to dive into. Before we do that, though, can you just talk about the beginnings of your journey in online advertising and what got you started on that path?
Yeah, man. So I'm an English guy. My accent's pretty messed up nowadays. I live in New Zealand with my partner, Freya. And we were about to get kicked out of the country because I was too old for an immigration visa. And so I found a loophole that if you started a business as an entrepreneur, you could stay as long as you earned like X amount of money. So I designed a T-shirt. And, you know, I took a lesson on Photoshop, put a T-shirt on Facebook, woke up to so many sales, which was amazing. And then we were in 5 retail stores in 5 weeks, which is insane. Found out I was quite good at marketing, managed to quit my job. Clothing company was doing well. We ended up selling that because we got a lot of people asking about marketing. I was doing SEO. It's kind of like one of those things. I think everyone gets into it first because it's free traffic. It's just effort. And then I got into retargeting to help people out. And then I started writing articles about paid ads. And the results that we were getting for these articles, like we got the top 10 posts of all time on inbound.org. Rest in peace, Inbound. It's not there anymore. On Growth Hackers, we've had the top 10 content of 2017 and 2018. Content shared by Neil Patel, Ryan Dice, Satya Nadella of Microsoft, and things like this. So it's been like a pretty crazy journey getting here.
And I mean, it's really incredible what you've been able to do with ads. There's a really detailed article they have. It's actually a 30,000 word guide on how to promote article content to cold audiences using paid ads. We'll definitely link to that in the show notes for people interested. But I mean, one of the things I got from your ad, I got from that article is that there's a strong focus on the retargeting and free content. So I'm wondering, how did you throw free content into retargeting all those together to create this efficient and effective ad campaign?
Okay, so we don't do too much retargeting on it. We do have it on, but for people who don't know, retargeting is simply if someone comes to your website, on average, only around 2% of people will buy. But it's not always because they don't want to buy. Sometimes, you know, they're checking out your website while they're on the phone, waiting to cross the street, things like that. They forget, they put their phone away, and then you've kind of, you've lost that sale. They were initially interested, they came and they left. So by retargeting, you can track those visitors, re-engage them, and get them to come back again. So I'll use it for different things. We have it for, so we have specific opt-in offers on our pieces of content, and they're really high. Normally we get between 17 and as high as 83% opt-in rate on some articles, which is insane. But what we'll do is we'll also retarget those people who don't opt in for the same offer. And you'll be surprised, you'll get like 10%, 20% more people come back who didn't opt in the first time to then come back and opt into your content. So how my business works is we try and convert people into subscribers first, and then over time we'll make offers and things, and then we'll get sales. There's a number of reasons we own that asset. You know, if Facebook died, if our account got turned off, if Google crashed, we would still be able to email people. Not only that, but I'm a big psychology nerd, and so there's the commitment and consistency principle. So if you can get someone to say yes to something that's small, they're 40% more likely to say yes to something that's bigger. Excuse me. So just by getting them on their email list, they're more likely to buy, things like that. So that's how we use it for content. And then obviously, if we do have offers and paid offers, we'll retarget people to say, you know, how many we've got left? Did you mean to miss this? This is still available if you want to buy it, things like that. Sorry, I'm three coffees deep as well. By the time I get on these calls, it's late in the afternoon for me, and I've been up since I think 5:30. So wow. I'm three coffees deep. So I'm just like pew pew.
I mean, you're delivering the value though, and I mean, you talked about the retargeting and how that works, and I mean, it's interesting how you use the articles as a way to grow your list. I mean, if you have like these 30,000 word articles out there and you optimize them to get subscribers, that can really work a lot. I'm wondering, do you do any kind of opt-in page promotion where it's one of these pages like click, enter your email address to get this free book? Do you prefer the article route? And what seems to, like, which of those two seems better for you?
So we will always have some kind of upgrade on a piece of content, a lead magnet or something like that. And we always align it with content just because people always give this kind of definition. If you've been in digital marketing space for a while, it's kind of like dating. And if you're asking for too much in advance, you're going to get more and more people say no. So driving people straight to an opt-in page where it's just literally, hey, I've got this thing, opt in to get it. You will get some subscribers, but not as many. What I like to do is I'm creating content anyway. It's an asset that I have on my site. Usually it's around a topic that's going to help convert an audience member. So I would rather leverage that and use what I call a hyper-specific next step offer. So each article has a kind of a unique lead magnet that's just for that article and nowhere else. And it's designed to be the next logical step that someone wants to take. For example, I have one article talks about email capture, and in the article, it breaks it all down, all the images and everything. But if you want, you can opt in and you can get five videos that are like 2 minutes long that there's no pitch. It literally just goes, hey, go into your email provider. Here's how you set this up. Here's how you set this up. And so it makes sense because it's the next logical thing that people want after reading the post. Because of that, it's got like a 20-25% opt-in rate. So it means that my content is more effective. I am more likely to get a higher opt-in because I'm not just asking for it straight away. The content's delivering all this value. And also because I'm using social channels or organic channels to push people to that content, they are more likely to convert. And it also works better with ads and things because these ad channels want people to have a good experience. And if you're just pushing them to a page that they bounce off of immediately because it's just like a cold offer, then it's not a good experience and your price is going to go up and they're going to show it less. Whereas when you're pushing them to content, it's a good experience. They measure time on page and things like that. And so our email opt-ins right now cost us 53 cents.
Wow. You know?
So, yeah. And that's New Zealand, actually. So that's about 30 cents US.
That's all I was going to add. I wanted to ask. I I noticed you were talking currency there. With that ad, I mean, I just want to clarify, like, when you say 53 cents, are you targeting, like, U.S. and Canada, New Zealand, like, are those
Yes.
kinds of...
So mainly English-speaking countries. So like US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, UK. Did I mention UK? Yeah. So those guys. And so I'm competing against people who are spending higher budgets and things like that, and difficult markets as well. We can actually afford to spend, because we know our numbers, about $23 per subscriber. But yeah, we're getting them for as low as 50 cents.
Wow,
Sometimes, you know, they're like $4, $5, but on average, once an ad starts to ramp up, the relevance kind of goes up, the price goes down, and it pays off.
Wow, because I mean, like, the common advice is like, if you're under $2 for a conversion, you're doing pretty good. Like,
Yeah.
you're like a gold mine or something, but 53 cents in those areas, I mean, that's really impressive. I mean, one of the things that I do want to ask is, you mentioned the free content. You mentioned you basically lead people to this massive free content, free value. I understand the concept. It builds relationships, but how do you test that in advance to make sure it converts? I mean, I know you drive traffic to it, but are there any specific things you do to that piece of free content to boost conversions, whether it's like putting like a landing page, an opt-in button, like the top of the content, or sprinkling it in there? Like, what do you do to optimize it for conversions?
Okay, so the way that we collect emails, I only collect them in one method, and that's it. I have no pop-ups, I have no sidebars, I have no other calls to action other than this one call to action. Like I said, it's unique to that post, and it's the next logical step that they want, because a lot of people will be reading your content, get excited about that topic, and then go off and Google somewhere else if you haven't given them an action to take. So we give them that next logical action. And we also use a bit more psychology. We use it's the same principle of commitment, where we might have text where it will say, "Hey, do you want to get these videos?" And they click on it. Then the opt-in box appears for the email. Again, by doing that, they're more likely to actually fill out and enter their email than they would if we just had the box on its own with the box there, because there's some kind of mental resistance and things like that. So it's a lot of this stuff is very easy. It's just the subtleties about it that if you tweak them, it makes a big difference. So the content is good. The conversions and things like that as well are much higher because of the methods that we use. There was something else, and it's lost. It's gone. I apologize.
I mean, like, that's amazing. I mean, just one call to action, because like, it's tempting to offer all these different call to actions, but in the end, you just need one call to action to work, and why not make it a very logical call to action specific for the post? The one thing that I do want to talk about, though, is I mentioned earlier, you've got this 30,000 word guide on how you guys make $22 for each dollar you spend. Again, really amazing, and just like 53 cents per conversion, really amazing. But people who are listening may think, I can't write a 30,000 word guide or something like that. So what's your advice for creating that kind of content with the mind of time and these other areas in our business that we still have to devote our time to?
Totally. And I would say don't. you don't need a 30,000 word post. There's all these different content archetypes out there that do different things. The article that's getting a 22 to 1 conversion rate isn't that big. It's about 2,500 words. So that one is actually what's driving such a high conversion rate. The one with the 30,000 words, the big guide that teaches you how to do all this, it walks you through it all. That's designed more, and my content's kind of a new site. We've only been going for about 5 months. And so it's a new project that I set up with my partner, because she's a content writer as well. So the reason we came out with that article is because it kind of puts our foot in the door, and other content marketers can see that we're legit, and it will build a lot of backlinks and things. In terms of a piece of content that I can drive traffic to, it doesn't need to be that big. Like, it's going to convert, but I have students who I teach this kind of stuff, and I always say, don't write that post first, otherwise you'll go crazy. You know, it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. So you only need a post really that's anywhere between 1,000 and 3,000 words. So if I've got another article where we teach people how to take a piece of content they've already got and improve it so that it actually converts higher. So we looked at information by BuzzSumo. They did like research of a million websites who are ranking the highest and why. Then we looked at content by Jonah Berger, who wrote a book called Contagious. It's like why things go viral, why societies and tribes do certain things that they do, why we share and things like this. And we found the overlap between those two and the criteria. And there's actually nine things. It's basically content that has authority, so people can trust it, content that has proof, content that is valuable and actionable, people will share it more likely. It's also builds reciprocity, so they want to pay you back, they want to take an action. It sounds all complicated, but really they kind of overlap. So if you've got a post that's about 1,000 to 3,000 words, you're seen as an authority on the topic. It's very easy to make a post that long when you make it actionable, rather than just saying, you know, like follow people on Instagram to get more followers. If you actually show them how to do it, you find these people, you do this search, you click on this, you do this, you know, so you're actually walking them through the steps. When you add a lot of images, it builds trust and context. When you have an offer that ties into it, it builds a lot of reciprocity and value again. So it's not that difficult to do. And when you write like this, it means you can write less often. So all those results that we've talked about, I only wrote 8 blog posts in 2 years, focusing on more effective content and higher promotions. And just to be clear, that content doesn't even rank for anything. You know, like I'm a big believer in SEO and I do a lot of SEO. But at the time, we weren't really pushing those things. But because it's effective, it doesn't have to be you don't have to be churning out a lot. You don't have to be putting in a heap of work. You can be a small business owner and just kind of, you know, write 5, 6, 7 posts and it's enough to keep converting sales and clients for you. Again, I apologize. I'm so caffeinated.
No, I mean, you keep sharing really amazing stuff. I mean, people think that like you gotta create so much content, and for some people that is their game, that is what works. I mean, I come out with 3 new episodes each week. I'm definitely looking to up my content game because that's what I love to do. But some people, they may think creating content is something I have to do, but I'd like to do other things. So you could really put in a lot of effort towards one piece of content, promote that, and really drive a lot of traffic just to that one piece of content through ads. When you are creating the ad though, do you go for pictures or videos within your ads and why? Because I've heard some people say pictures are better. I've also seen a bunch of video ads. So I'm wondering if you could share your thoughts on that.
I usually go for images just because it's easier to do and it's easier to tweak. If I'm going to record a video, you know, I've got to get it right. I've got to edit it. I've got to test those different things. And I remember now what it is that I forgot earlier. I say that, immediately it slips my brain. Okay. So when in the article, the big article that we're talking about newsfeed ads. So they're the big images and a lot of text and stuff on there. The reason we talk about those is because they're the easiest to convert with. And if we look at how someone actually consumes a newsfeed ad, it's not how you would expect. They kind of, the image gets to their attention first, and then they read the subhead, but they're not really paying too much attention. They're trying to see, is this worth my time? Is it worth spending kind of like mental focus on? Only after that, if you can connect with those, did they then go and read the top of the post and connect. When I'm creating an ad, a lot of people don't realize, but most adverts will start off at a loss. You might spend $4 and only make $1 back. That advert right now that's doing really well, at one point it was costing us kind of $10 a click. There was a lot of things going wrong. There was Zuckerberg was on trial at the time and things like that. So it was just – Facebook was just messed up at the time. Soon after that, it was $4 a click and things like that, and eventually it got to $1 and $1 back, and now it's kind of $1 and $22 back. So you have to be prepared to understand that it starts at a loss, but it's for a sequence of testing. by testing and testing those different elements, you can then get to an ad that's more high performing. If you were using a video, you would have to tweak so many things. So for example, I will run an ad and I'll just test four different images and everything else is the same. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to find the image that gets the most clicks at first. Then I'll remove the rest and I'll keep the winning image and I'll test the headline. And once I find a headline that gets the most clicks, I'll then test the next thing. By doing it like this, it means I can run a low budget to it, but I'm also getting an ad that incrementally improves. Now, if I was doing that with a video, I would have to reshoot and try a new template at the front. Then I might have to tweak the headline in the videos. So in reality, you know, I could record all those in one go and have all those different variations and see which one works best. But not everyone's great in front of a camera. Not everyone has the equipment and things like that. That's why I prefer kind of just a newsfeed image and text. And again, sorry for the long answers.
No, this is great. And it is an interesting approach because, I mean, I felt like as a user, now, of course, like your data like affects what kinds of ads you see. So maybe just based on who you are, you're naturally going to get more of one or the other than the other. But I felt like I've been seeing more videos. But I mean, with the whole testing, and I mean, it's a lot harder to make changes and split test for four different videos and four different images. So I definitely understand that point. I'm wondering if you could share with us what you do for setting up the campaign to decide who to reach out to and how you do that proper targeting.
Yeah. So I finally remembered now for the third time. I do apologize. It's been a long day. I'll do a lot of customer research before I write the ad, but I'll even do it before I write the article. I will kind of do Skype interviews or one-on-one interviews with people who are very cold, people who are aware of the problem, people have already solved the problem. By doing that, our job as marketers really is to connect the dots between someone who has an issue and the solution and help them get to that point. By interviewing people at different stages, it helps me to find the language and the emotions and things like that to write the ad, but also to write the content. So that it makes it easier to like actually set up. But it also helps it easier to then actually do the targeting for the ad, because then I can say, okay, well, this is the ideal person, and I want them to have this, 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 and this. So when I'm testing an advert to get it to when I'm doing like the focus groups and stuff to get to find which variations get the most clicks, what I will do is I'll create a small group of about 1,000 to 10,000 people who are the ideal person for that article. You know, people who live in X country, who have X interests, who read Y blog, et cetera, et cetera. And I'll just keep narrowing it down based on whatever criteria I can. The more specific you get, the more it costs to show your ads. And this is a big mistake that people have. You can get specific early on to find what ad works, and then later on you actually expand to lower the cost. And I'll explain what I mean. So I'll create this tight focus group, kind of like have you ever seen Mad Men, the TV show?
Yes.
So like what they would do in those kind of shows where they get like 30 people in a room and they're showing them different variations and split tests and things. That's basically what they were doing with these focus groups. So I will run a tight group, an ad to a tight group, and I'll run different variations to find the winning ad. Then what I'll do to lower the cost, I will make it far less specific. So I might just say, just target people who are content marketers, and that's it. At that point, because I'm less specific, Facebook lowers the cost to show it. So straight away, you know, I'm more likely to be profitable just because it's not as expensive to show the ad. What people don't understand is, a lot of people miss, Facebook has a machine learning algorithm, so it starts to pick up on specific things that people do, specific actions and things like that. Because I've designed an advert that is for my ideal person, and I know it performs well with those ideal people, as Facebook starts to show it to more and more and more people in my target audience, in my broader audience, you know, of like 2 million content marketers or something, the ad is going to start performing. It's going to do really well because we've designed it to get the most clicks. And not only that, the content it's connected to does really well, and it ties in and it gets opt-ins. So it starts to collect data, and it starts to collect a lot of data because the content is performing really well. It then uses those data points to narrow down its own targeting but it doesn't charge you more for it getting more specific, if that makes sense. Like the program learns who the right people are who are converting. And then it says, oh, okay, well, these content marketing agencies seem to really respond to this. We're going to show it to more of those people. But it doesn't charge you more to show it to those people. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So like those are two of the really big things that I see people, either they don't get specific enough when they test, they just go really broad. And they might get a variation that gets a lot of clicks, but it gets a lot of clicks from the wrong audience who are not going to be a conversion. So you got to be specific at first to get that ad for high performance. And then you expand later on and you let the kind of the AI start tracking that data and performing. So over time, costs get lower and lower and lower as the conversions go and get better. Again, I do apologize. I'm a massive nerd with this stuff.
No. I mean, there's no need to apologize. I mean, you know a lot about this topic, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are really loving this content right now. I mean, you're really giving us so many great insights. But with these great insights, I mean, there's so much insight on the web and places like that where you can potentially take some kind of online ad and really make it successful, high converting. So based on your experience of becoming a success yourself and helping others with their online advertising, what do you believe holds most people back from being able to launch these high converting online ads?
Okay, it's normally three things. One is they lack experience, and so they're overwhelmed of where to start. That's why we wrote this massive guide. It actually walks you through step by step so that you finish one thing in chapter one before you move to chapter two. So you have everything built as you go along. So it's experience. The next thing is fear of the unknown. People don't know their business numbers, so they don't know if their ads are working or not. Like I said, we can afford to spend $23 per subscriber because I know how much a visitor is worth, I know how much a subscriber is worth, and I know how much a customer is worth. And it's really easy to figure out. It's just, you know, one number minus another. And again, we show you how to do all that in the guide. Once you know those numbers, you have goalposts to aim for. So I was working, I go to a gym locally here, and they asked me to help out with ads. And we started running a campaign, and then we're making $17 back in on initial purchase for every $5 spent, something like that, which is huge. It's already profitable. But then they had something like a 40% conversion rate where people would pay for the year. So we're getting people in for like a $17 trial or something. I can't remember what it was now, $10 maybe. And then 50% of those people were converting to like $2,000 for the year. But they stopped running the ads because they didn't think they were making money, because they weren't measuring properly how they were converting and things like that. So that's another major issue is, you know, getting into it, figuring out how much you can spend, because people will just stop ads that are running that are converting really well because, you know, they're worried that they're wasting money, you know. But if you know your numbers, you can sleep well at night. And then the last thing is understanding that they do take time to get to a point where they are profitable. So for example, I convert something like 2 out of every 100 leads into a sale. If I ran an advert and I only got 30 leads, and I didn't get a sale, it makes total sense that I didn't, because I know on average I need to get 100 or so, you know? And so people stop ads too soon. So those are the three major areas. You know, fear of the unknown, not knowing the numbers, so they don't know if their ads are working or not, and then not starting out and understanding that you will lose money at first to get to a point where you can figure out what a winning ad is for your business.
Daniel, those are some really interesting points for why people aren't launching these successful ads. I feel like the overwhelm really affects a lot of people. And then you have just really knowing your numbers, because, I mean, the numbers don't lie, but if you don't know the numbers, you don't know what to look for. You don't know what's a good conversion rate or what's a bad conversion rate or how much you can spend. I mean, just listening to you in this episode, I mean, you've got all of your numbers down, and it's no wonder with all those numbers down that your ads are converting really well. I mean, knowing your numbers, that's just one good habit to have, staying alert on what those are. But I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the other habits that you would consider essential for your success.
Okay. You got to exercise. Stress is like a massive thing in business, and we're all susceptible to it. So I find having specific habits, kind of I ride my bike to work every day, to the office, that helps me not be as stressed and make decisions that are incorrect, if that makes sense. And I know that's kind of like one of those things that people wouldn't really think of. And then you had James Clear on the show. I remember listening to his episode. He's got a great book called Atomic Habits, and he talks about goal tracking as well. A lot of these things are long term. So say we're setting up an advert. I'll tell everyone as well on the call, you don't need to get started and spend a fortune right away. A lot of people are scared of ads, and then they decide to commit, and they spend their entire budget in one day. You know, you can get started for about $5 a day, and that's what I recommend. But because of that, it's like a long-term goal, and people are really bad at doing things for the future version of themselves. We do things for ourselves today for like immediate pleasure, or, you know, like we eat bad and things, and we don't think about the effect that it has. Well, a lot of stuff in business is like that. So, you know, I'm doing outreach right now for this blog post because we're still building links, even though it's got paid ads that are working. I've got, I think, around 65 sites that are linking to this now, which is huge. It's for another case study. But Google's only showing 6. So it's only showing 6 websites linking to us. So even though I've got all those links and we should be ranking number 1, it's going to take a couple of months for Google to even notice those links. And then it's going to take a couple of months for my traffic to notice it. But I know for a fact that's going to be worth thousands of dollars and thousands of visitors and things like this. So when it comes to these like long-term goals, you have to break it down into systems instead. So what I do is, for example, as long as I do outreach and I send 8 outreach emails a day, I know that we will hit our goal over time. So you start to measure those things. You've got to break it down from the goal to the system so that you can just come in. Because if I was just looking at traffic, I either have the traffic or I don't. So for 99% of the time, I'm going to be sad that I don't have that traffic. Whereas if I just sit there and say, hey, did I send my 8 emails today? Because if so, today is a success. And so I just keep coming in each day and I keep sending those emails, and that's all I need to do. So I hope that, you know, the biggest things, I know a lot of people talk about like specific areas of business. You know, they might say, oh, you should run messenger ads and stuff like that. In reality, when it comes down to it, it's finding specific habits to make your work easier.
Those are some really interesting insights. I like the exercising every day. That's very valuable. I also like the 8 outreach emails each day. And I'd like to do a lot of outreach. But, I mean, to set a daily goal like 8, and, I mean, the level of detail you go in your outreach emails, I noticed because the email you used to reach out to me. But it's really incredible to have that kind of a goal. And it's no wonder you're able to get that article linked out a lot of places, such as Breakthrough Success. The link will be in the show notes, markcoverty.com/E321. But it's, yeah, if you do that, 8 outreach emails per day, that can make a big difference for your business. Another big difference, reading books, learning, it's a great habit to develop. I know we've already hit on contagious and atomic habits. I'm wondering, though, if you could share with us one more book that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
Okay, so I'm looking at it right now, and it's facing me on my bookshelf on purpose because it's a reminder when things get stressful. It's a book by Ryan Holiday, and it's about stoicism, which is a – I can't think of the word now. It's a system of philosophy to help you be kind of emotionally controlled and things like that. And the book is called The Obstacle is the Way, and I also have another book of his called Ego is the Enemy. They're right next to each other. And it's just specific lessons to help you deal with certain struggles so you can remove emotional components so that you can actually succeed.
Daniel, thank you for sharing those great books with us. Ryan Holiday fan here as well. So those will be in the show notes. Again, markcoverty.com/E321. In case that wasn't clear earlier from my little jarble there. But I mean, with all these great books, with all these great insights you've given us, the last question that I want to hear your insights on is, what is one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often?
I think I was listening to another episode of yours. It was a HubSpot one where they were saying they're more customer focused. And so one big thing for me is empathy. I'm very empathetic. And so I always ask, not what's in it for me, but what's in it for them? Because if you approach that with your outreach emails, you'll get more success. If you think about it when you're writing content, it'll resonate more. If you think about it when you're writing ads, people, you'll get more clicks. So try and think about the person that you are connecting with, what is in it for them, so that you can make it more effective and just so you can do better in business.
Daniel, thank you so much for sharing that question, all of your great insights throughout our time together. For people who are wondering where we can find you, we will be linking to that article, that 30,000 word guide. Should be like this massive book, but it is an article that you can get for free if you want to learn how to turn $1 into $22 for your ad spend. In addition to that article, are there any other places you want us to go to find you?
Okay, yeah. So I will say up front, we don't do client campaigns because I get requests almost daily. You can find us at the blog antmycontent.com, and you can find me on Twitter at inboundascend, A-S-C-E-N-D. But I say this every time. I only share it because people ask. But all that's on there is kind of photos of my cat and the music that I've been listening to when I'm writing and things. And now and again, I'll share an article, but that's it. I'm very kind of reserved on social.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for sharing those resources with us and all of your great insights with us. It was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you for everyone listening at home or on your commute. I hope it was valuable for you.
Want to dominate the podcasting industry? Now you can with your free copy of my book, Podcast Domination. You'll learn how to launch, grow, and monetize your very own show. And whether you are a beginner or an expert, this book has a lot of golden nuggets for you. We'll cover the cost of producing this book. All we ask is that you cover the shipping. To get your copy, head over to markgaberti.com/PD.